Well, how does Phil tie crop circles into all of this? We'll find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Philip, how do crop formations fit into all this?
I wish I knew. You know, at one time I was thinking that, these crop circles are formed by various types of magnetic fields being produced by somehow. But I know that, a great number of them are being produced by human beings.
Sure. And, even if 99% of them are, that gives us that 1%.
That's right. But, how do you differentiate the 1% from the 99%? So from my point of view in that area of research, especially what's taking place over in England on this, is that the water has been so muddied that it's very hard to tell what's going on. And plus, the fact is that I'm not over in England. And so I can't really, get firsthand evidence as to what's going on. I know people who I've worked with here that have gone to England and went inside the crop circles, and they said that the plants were bent over, not crushed down as you would expect, like people making it with a board. So I guess it depends upon who you talk to that has really done an extensive study of these things, whether they believe they're hoaxes or not. But as with anything in the paranormal, once it gets popular, the human element gets in there and totally muddies the water in it. And I've had that happen in particular locations that I've written about. I've written about certain locations in the Hudson Valley where certain things happen. And people have clustered. It surprised really the heck out of me. People have clustered. People driving in from the city, people driving in from Massachusetts, to line up on this road at night, hoping to have some type of otherworldly experience. It got so bad that the local sheriff office in there had to get called in from time to time to move the people out. So, and when they said, well, where did you hear about this? Oh, this guy in Brocknell wrote about it. I'm not very popular with the sheriff's office in Brewster. So, when you get the human element in there, they usually, you get a considerable amount of contamination. And usually when I'm doing up-to-date research in a particular area, I try to keep it secret until I've got enough data out of it. But unfortunately, crop circles have, went under the radar with me. And I don't think right now we'll ever see a determination on what's real and what's not there. But I can say this, that in New York and New England here, we've had crop circles. But they're not crop circles like you would find in England. They're crop circles where UFO sightings have been reported and various other types of paranormal phenomena have been reported. And the crops, which is not only wheat, but also just grass and also corn, has been bent over and pressed down. So back in the 70s, we used to call them saucer nests.
Yeah.
And this is what they look like around here. There's no elaborate designs. But these are also in areas where there has been a lot of phenomena reported. And the so-called saucer nests in the area, and there's a few of them, and it's not a common phenomena, but there's also these evidence of these magnetic flux in the area. So, and plus people have reported seeing objects and beams of light coming down from the sky in these particular areas. So, there may be a connection, but I definitely found a connection with some of the interaction with the ground out here.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Scarsdale, New York, Chris, first-time caller, you're up with us. Hi, Chris, go ahead.
Hello, George, and hello, Phil, or as I called you in high school, Mr. I.
Hello, Chris.
Good to be. It's convenient that you're talking about tunnels because as a student 15 years ago, I was attempting to tunnel my way out of your classroom.
Well, I always had to put a leash and a collar on you to keep you in.
You remember him, Phil?
Of course I do.
Yeah, well, I just saw him at the reunion.
Okay, great.
Yeah, tell me, is there any official tour that's given of these tunnels or stone chambers or historic sites? Is there any historic group that one could get involved with and go see these things as a group?
Well, you know, most of the tunnels now, of people looking for them, I guess primarily because I was writing about them, I think some of them, most of them have been closed up. But there are still entrances into them if you know where to look. And you have to remember, a lot of these tunnels were closed up until I found them and reopened them, which was a no-no. And all of this phenomena has been generating around these areas before, you know, the ideas of the people seeing the tunnels. And something very bizarre, like downtown Brewster, for example. Downtown Brewster is catacombed with underground tunnels. And some of these tunnels lead up to some of the older houses. So these people in the basements have sealed over areas probably and trap doors that lead into an underground world. Wow. And it's, you know, and they don't even know it because many of the old families have just moved out, and 99% of the residents of that town are recent, within the last 20 years. And these tunnels and these houses go back to the 1800s. So, you know, there's no one arranging tours. You wouldn't want to go into these things anyway because they're partially flooded. When I explored them, I had to get a raft, and it's pitch dark, and I had to raft down these tunnels. And the water is red from the iron ore, so it looks like you're rafting through blood.
Pretty scary.
And it's you really have to, you know, have it together to go in there, because it's not an easy task. It's not something you would want to do on a weekend for fun.
I see. George, I think it would be great if Coast to Coast did a week where they had former students of former guests. And I think this would be very popular with the listeners, and I'd gladly volunteer myself. And I think if you did an online poll on the website, I think that you'd get a very popular turnout for that.
You'd be number one, Chris. We just have to find them all. That's all. Let's go to Grass Valley, California, west of the Rockies. Peter, go ahead, Pete.
Hi there. I'm enjoying the show tonight, and it's not very often I'm tempted to call in, but...
Here you are.
Here I am, and I was curious if you have mentioned an author named James P. Hogan. He has a lot of, especially his later books.
I have not.
They deal with multiverse theory.
Okay.
And the idea of communicating between multiverses.
And he's still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he shares time between Ireland and, I believe, Florida. And that brings me, if you will permit me, a couple other points about magnetism. The idea of Coral Castle would be one. And then, of course, the Bermuda Triangle as being magnetic hotspots, which could be involved in this same. If you look at the Earth as basically one big magnetic engine, we've got the fluid in the center, we've got the solid elements on the outside, and they're all moving in their own way. And I think we're just beginning to be able to tie that into something that, you know, that we're just kind of on the edge of. I don't know if that makes sense, but anyway, I think that things like the construction of Coral Castle would have, you know, I don't know how else he would have seemingly levitated the heavy rocks to create that. You are familiar with the Coral Castle.
Oh, I think we both are, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it. And it's just to say something for that, yes, that's amazing. You know, how did he do it? Up in the Hudson Valley, in these areas of magnetic anomalies, in every one of them, and there's no exception, are these stone chambers that are cut from the bedrock, made of massive stones, and no one knows who built them. They predate colonial times. And, of course, there's a new idea coming out now, is that they were built by Phoenician or European explorers centuries ago, thousands of years ago. But if they were, how did they move those stones? And it seems that they built these structures and placed them in the magnetic anomalies to mark the area. And There's one particular location in North Salem, New York, that has a 60-ton boulder of granite sitting on six limestone-carved pedestal stones. And this is a dolmen, table stone. It's the largest dolmen in the world, and it's sitting there in North Salem, New York, in Westchester County. And it was at this location that we were able to record the lowest, or the greatest, I should say, negative magnetic anomaly. And that particular stone, if you plot the locations of these other anomalies and the locations of these stone chambers, they're all in straight lines, like they're following the magnetic field of the Earth, and they connect to that stone in North Salem, New York, in straight lines. And I find this pretty amazing. And one of my books, called Celtic Mysteries, Doorways to Another Dimension in America's Northeast, talks about my research into these areas, because talking about Coral Castle and the magnetic anomaly there, and these stone structures in these negative magnetic anomalies, marking these areas of paranormal phenomena that the Native Americans even have legends about, who built them and what takes place there. So this is pretty amazing. You know, one of the things that I'm very fortunate of, I don't have to travel to Nepal or Giza or, you know, Sedona. I've got my own twilight zone in my backyard here, in the Hudson Valley. It's so filled with many legends and going-ons and since pre-colonial days. And the things that are happening now, I'm sure, will become the legends of 100 years from now, just like the Headless Horseman and Rip Van Winkle.
Well, you know, Ed Leeds Skolnin, Coral Castle, used to tell people he knew the secret of the pyramids. And he also believed in magnetics. Not with metal, but he believed everything had the ability to be magnetized or demagnetized. So you know what? It's possible he knew something, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe he, from what I've read, he definitely had some type of secret knowledge that he would do. Now, when I take people out to look at these stone chambers and some of the stuff that's in the area, people are amazed as to the size of the stones that are in the ceilings. And they said, you know, how could people, if they built it thousands of years ago without modern equipment, how could they move these stones? And, you know, that's the million-dollar question. And I proposed it to, you know, a number of people in heavy-duty scientific fields that I know up at MIT. And, you know, they were saying, well, you know how you can do it. You change the gravitational constant. I said, what? He says, yeah, you know, if you change the gravitational constant, you could take something that's seemingly very heavy and make it very light so two guys can just pick it up. You just take the weight away from it. I said, well, how do you change the gravitational constant? And they said, well, you know, you could probably do it if you really, you know, produce a powerful enough electromagnetic pulse to distort the gravitational curvature and the gravitational well that the Earth is causing. And I'm saying, what? You know, how could somebody think, you know, thousands of years ago to change the gravitational constant to pick up these stones? Maybe if the legends are true that Druid priest engineered the construction of these chambers, that perhaps they knew something how to harness the energy of the Earth to change the gravitational constant. And the only other place that you find these stone chambers is in Northern Europe. And we know that they're pre-Celtic, Celtic design, and they're the same design here. And archaeologists who were in Ireland and Scotland who have seen these things here are shocked that they're sitting here and that they're just lost in time. But I find the fascination. I discovered them because of the UFOs and the magnetic anomalies. Why are these structures sitting on all the locations of these magnetic anomalies as if to mark them?
Okay, next up we go to Athens, Georgia. Gary, it's your turn. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, guys. Great show tonight. Fantastic topic. I have a comment and then a question for your guest.
Sure thing.
I was going to say to you, George, you told about, I talked about seeing things through the night vision goggles.
Yes.
My girlfriend and I went to the ranch at Sutpa, Yosetti up there in Washington State with James Gilliland.
Right,
in 2006.
Jimmy's place.
And it was fantastic, let me tell you. We saw probably 30 UFOs in two nights staring at the sky. And, you know, you can see some fantastic things through technology, but when you open your mind and let the spiritual aspect of your being come through, you really start to connect with the universe. My question is to your guest. I was we met Brooks Agnew when we were there at the conference, and I was curious as to the hollow earth theory, if you have heard of that, and if you thought maybe that was contributing to your bizarre readings for your EMF detection. And I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
The hollow earth theory. Well, I don't really know.
That's not you, I don't think, Phil.
Not me?
No. I don't think you're into the hollow earth theory, are you?
No, I'm not really into the hollow earth theory. But I think the magnetic anomaly readings that I'm getting it's caused by the unique geology in the area. And the Earth's magnetic field being twisted and braided because of the geology in that area.
I'm interested in what you were saying earlier about the possibility of portals that could exist. Could somebody stumble into one, like one of those old Twilight Zone movies, and fall into another dimension?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my favorite episode, Little Girl Lost.
Yes, that's
she
it.
Falls behind the bed. And, you know, I think it is possible. And from what I can understand from looking over state police records, that a good number of people mysteriously disappear in those areas up there every year, that they can't account for, that they never find them. And, of course, they say, you know, that they just ran away or were kidnapped or something like that. The Native Americans have a legend that there is another world. There are connections to another world in a number of these locations that I'm talking about, and that that it's very dangerous at certain times to go in there because you can disappear into that world and not come back. And also it's dangerous because they say many of these locations are the home of tricksters, and they come into our world, and they shapeshift. So not only do we have what we see today at these locations, but they're historically active with paranormal phenomena that even predates colonial days. And these must be areas where there's portals or doorways or windows that connect to another reality. And this phenomena seems that it's readily available. It seems to be able to easily enter our reality. And I think we have a problem actually seeing where the opening is.
When we come back, we'll wrap things up with final phone calls for you, Phil, right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me again, that's george@coast2coastam.com. Fascinating program and another fast night with Phil Imbrogno. Fascinating program with Phil Imbrogno tonight. Fascinating. On our next Coast to Coast program, David Hatcher Childress joins us. Lost cities and ancient cities of the Southwest. Mysterious lights, thunderbirds, pterodactyls on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, let's take final phone calls with Phil. We'll be back. Beyond your next book, Phil, what's your next project, your next research project?
Well, I'm going to continue doing studies with the scientific studies of EVP and can continue to analyze some of the signals and continue investigating paranormal phenomena in the field. And I've really broadened my horizons on this. And, you know, I've been known primarily as a UFO investigator. But, you know, I'm dealing with all aspects of the paranormal because I feel it's all related. And so I'm still collecting the I actually have a book coming out in 2010 in March. And then I have another book coming out after that that primarily deals with the contact phenomena and what's been going on in the studies I've been doing, especially with statistics and the contact phenomena and how it's increased since the 60s.
And what's caused that increase? What do you think?
I think it has something to do with if periodically we get close to this dimensional rift, and this intelligence in this other dimension, actually, it's easier for them to contact more people and to communicate with more people. For whatever reason, you know, I don't know why, but I, you know, have some speculation on it.
And speculate.
Well, you know, speculate, and you know, I started the proposing an idea in the scientific field that there's a dimension that's very close to us, and this idea I've been injecting into not only the UFO investigators, but also the people involved in demonology and so on, that there's this dimension that's very close to us. It's like almost razor thin to us, and it's almost the universe has everything it can do just to stop this dimension from continuously overlapping with ours. In this dimension are other beings, and they're an intelligent race of people. And that they do interact with the human race, but they try to stay hidden. And they contact us for various reasons. It seems that in some of the communications, they're attempting to merge into our universe at a particular point in time. And if you go into the Islamic ideas, the people in Islam, and the Muslims, they know exactly who these beings are. They've called them the jinn. And the jinn are called God's other people.
Yeah.
They're a race that was created before humans. They were around on Earth before humans, that slowly were drifted into or fell into this dimensional rift where they are now. And legend says that they're trying to come back into our world. And if you look at the idea of the jinn are not made of physical matter. They're not made of light. They're made of plasma, which is, you know, ionized gases that are, you know, contained in a magnetic field. And they can take different shapes and different forms. And they're semi-solid. And if you look at the idea of this creature that has been called in legend called the jinn, it bears a striking resemblance to a lot of the ideas of what we're seeing now in the paranormal world. And much of what we see in the paranormal world, including some communications on EVP and also hauntings and things like that, shadow people, could be accounted for by these dimensional creatures that have been called the jinn. And in the jinn, the word jinn means hidden, because they're hidden from us, because they're in this world close to us, but we can't see them, but they seem to be able to perceive us from time to time. So it's like looking through a mirror, which you can just see through one direction.
Okay.
So my studies are going in on that.
All right, back to the phones. Louisiana, we go east of the Rockies. Dotsie, go ahead, Dotsie.
Yeah, I called because of that poor lady that sounded so upset, anonymous in Florida. She said she doesn't know how to have this thing stop. I had the details aren't important, but it's significant contact with UFOs and ghosts. And your guest is right. There's some of us who don't care. We don't want to know. We think it's crazy to even think about it. And then they show up in our life, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Well, long story short, I was not alone. I was in bed with my husband, and we got pinned to the bed one night out of the blue, and he went completely unconscious. I'm like, oh, and I wasn't scared, but they were trying to put me to sleep. And I said, oh, Jesus, I know I haven't talked to you in a long time. I know you're mad at me, but please help me. They're trying to do something to me. And they went away. So I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, got up. You know, everything was fine, but then got rid of the husband, and he was trying to have me killed, so I decided to start cleaning houses. This is the future contact thing. Run right into an infested mansion in uptown New Orleans. I won't give you the details. Stuff that's just unbelievable. You don't need a special equipment with some of these things. They knew my name. Dotsie, please let me out of the attic. Oh, please. And screaming. Jets of water coming out of the wall. I was trying to tell these people, your house needs to be prayed over. By this time, it was sort of moving me into a kind of a prayer thing. Every time I'd pass a crucifix on the wall, this thing would throw the crucifix at me. One day, out of anger, I picked it up. I said, I am not Catholic. this is a piece of art to me. Now, in the name of the real Christ, I'm telling you to leave me alone. And it stopped. Now, it lasted a while, but it started again encouraging my spirit of going back to God. And then the final thing was the final contact with the UFOs again. I had hoped they had come the first time for my ex-husband. I was wrong. They came for me. I'm laying in bed. I hear this bizarre noise that I heard that time. And I'm like, okay, by then I was a born-again Christian. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to go. I don't care what you are. You have to go. They instantly went.
And they went. Amazing.
Amazing. I mean, you know, amazing story.
Next up, we go to Alexandria, Louisiana again. Cornelius, go ahead.
Hey, George, God bless you. Hi. And Phil and your Tommy, the call screener. I was just going to mimic the same thing that lady said, and I was hoping that Phil would, since he talked about the Islamic aspect, there is a Christian aspect in that these are aliens or fallen angels or demons, and they're trying to possess us. So that's all I wanted to say. God bless you, gentlemen. Y'all have a nice night.
Okay, simple.
Thank you.
Simple indeed. Next up, we go to Lake Tahoe. Lonnie, go ahead, Lonnie.
Hi, George. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I was wondering, kind of along the same lines, if Philip had any distinction between spirit and soul, and what is like the human spirit and soul versus these entities. Do they have spirit? Do they have soul? You know, what is the distinction, and how does he see it?
If you're talking about the jinn, according to legend, have souls, and they have free will. They were like another race in the universe that's different from human beings. And you know, people mistakenly call them demons and so on, but according to, you know, what you read in the Quran, that they're a good jinn and they're a bad jinn. And when we think about jinn, we think about genies, we think about Robin Williams and Aladdin, and we think about, you know, I Dream a Genie on TV. But the aspect of the jinn to the people over in the Middle East, in Turkey, and Iraq, and Iran, and Syria. The idea of the jinn are very real creatures. I think very similar to, you know, what people in the Western world call demons. And I'm not exactly sure that when people say demons, they know exactly what they're talking about. So, you know, if you look at the idea that there is a race of beings and you look at them that way, that there are a race of beings, they're an intelligent race of beings. They're not evil, they're not good, and they do interact with us. We are another aspect, another type of living being in the universe. And I think that's, you know, where we're headed in the paranormal, because more people who are involved in paranormal research are starting to accept this idea as a possibility for some of the manifestations that they're documenting.
Why do you think paranormal activity will continue, that will get more, not less?
Well, I think that it's going to get more because the sun is inactive and these negative magnetic anomalies are increasing. They're increasing in not only in number, but they're increasing in intensity. And unfortunately, you know, I think I'm one of the only ones doing this type of research, and I just can't get out there and do it all the time, so I'm making periodic measurements and seeing this. And as I'm seeing these areas of negative magnetic anomalies increasing in these areas, I'm also seeing the increase in paranormal reports. So it's like a theoretical idea that when the magnetic field of the Earth starts to drop, which it's doing now, we see an increase in paranormal phenomena. So, you know, if the theory is correct, it will be tested within the next 3 years.
Next up, Scottsdale, first-time caller. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Phil, may I call you Phil?
Sure.
I wanted to ask you why you necessarily thought that there's been an increase in paranormal activity over the last couple of years, as opposed to more of a constant state phenomenon. And I came up with 3 points. Okay, one is our population has increased dramatically in say like the last 50 years, so there's more people coming in contact with this sort of phenomenon. Two, our our technology has dramatically changed in the last 10 years. So we've got communication, we've got internet, we've got cell phones. We have technology like people having cameras on their phone. They can take images of these things. And then my last point would be that society in general has changed over the last, century or so. People can come out and talk about these things as opposed to the days where if you couldn't talk about these things, they'd throw your butt in the nut house. And, evidence is a show like this, Coast to Coast, Friday night. You can hear people talk about this stuff all the time. But I just wanted to make that comment. I really appreciate what you're doing, though. I mean, I really love this stuff. That's all I have to say.
Any comments here, Phil?
Oh, yeah, I can answer that. In my new book coming out, I propose the idea, is it because people are more willing to talk about it because they're not feeling really cute anymore? Is it because, the population has increased, the aspect of communication to get these cases out has improved with the internet and so on and so on? But then I look at the number of cases over the last 5 years, checking various data banks, not only with UFO sightings and paranormal, but the appearance of strange creatures and sightings of lake monsters and so on, the whole spectrum. And I come to the conclusion that, it's de-escalation is amazing. And it's not because of the population increasing or the rate of communication. That has something to do with it, yes, indeed. But there's definitely a substantial increase in the last 10 years of people experiencing various types of paranormal phenomena. And I believe that usually in the 70s, when we saw in the past, when a movie comes out like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, everybody starts reporting UFOs. But then again, for a while, UFOs was a dead subject. Paranormal phenomena, people weren't interested in it. You couldn't even get a book published on UFOs in really the early 80s. And the thing is that now people are experiencing this stuff, and because there's a big public interest in it now because people are looking for answers, it has generated a lot of shows on TV. And it's sort of like a reverse effect. The media did not program the idea of paranormal phenomena into the public. The public experienced this, and the media picked up on it because it's becoming a subject in which people want to deal with now because the experiences are increasing. Everyone knows someone who had an experience, and people are talking about their experiences because of the openness of the media displaying this and the fact that more people that they talk to have experienced it. Here in the Hudson Valley, the UFO sightings. In the 1970s, you would have been labeled a nut. But now, people say, yes, I've seen something too. So we see this, and I believe it's caused by an increase in reports and not just, a technical thing in population.
Okay, next up we go to Bonnie Lake, Washington, west of the Rockies. John, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, on the 22nd at 4 a.m. in the morning, after finishing a book about Enoch, the latest copy by Jackson A. Snyder, I felt impressed to go outside, and I took my camcorder with me, and I could see... it was as if the sky was moving in the darkness. Now, I couldn't pick it up on the camcorder. I did pick something up. But what I saw to begin with was what I considered to be a craft that was availing itself with some kind of technology. And it was moving back and forth, like kind of like an ocean sea drifting ship that goes fishing, takes people fishing. And it kept going back over the same area and then go back and over the same area. And then the same craft went to another area of the sky. And just like an airport that was busy with planes, they would go and they would launch themselves from a certain place and take off with tremendous speed. Now, I couldn't get this on the camera. And so I'm saying, I said openly, out loud, I said, Lord, I said, I believe that this has got something to do with what I just read in the Book of Enoch. It'd be nice if I could get this on film. I no sooner said it, and a real bright light came over. So now what I have on film is I've got, you can see the circle within the circle. You can see the dome. You can see portals.
You're going to get this to us, John?
I can send it to you.
Please.
Put it on a tape and send it
to
you.
Yeah. How about George? Just email it to me. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
George at coasttocoastam.com.
Right. And now the bottom part of the craft, for some reason, shows a flat line, but it's circular and then circular within. You can see the dome. And then when you, I focus it in and out, and you can actually see a face of a man on the outside of the craft.
Wow.
I was noticing in the Book of Ezekiel, it talks about the four different...
Well, let me ask you, we're almost out of time. Can you see the face on your photo?
Yes, you can.
Okay, please, get it to us. I'll get it to Lex. We might finally have a great photo here, Phil.
It sounds like it. I mean, you know, I believe there are people out there that are holding on to things and just waiting to turn it over to somebody.
Phil's latest work, Interdimensional Universe, and, of course, his research continues, and he'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.